Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to episode 303. I am your co-host, Jessica Kupferman. With me, as always, the very lovely and fully make-upped Elsie Escobar. And also our producer with the mooster. That didn't rhyme. I tried so hard. John Jamingo, everyone. Yay!
Hey.
Honestly, I'm going to break out in hive.
From?
Just from thinking about this, all the things we have to do, Jess.
Oh.
Not we, you and I, and then all the rest of the things I have to do after that. I'm like...
very busy.
I'm deer in the headlights like this.
You had me panic this morning, I'll tell you what. I mean, unless you're specific about what all we have to do, don't make me worry like that. Because I was just like, you're like, we have to get our shit together. We have so much to do. And it's
okay, listen. Actually, for everybody who's
four
watching
graphics?
This. I'm sorry, what?
I said, you mean the four graphics? Is that everything?
Everybody that is watching right now. All of the thousands of people.
All three of you.
That are watching. Maybe I can mention this even for those who show up and stuff. We are going to need help in the chat for our She Podcast MiniCon. That is something that is going to be necessary. Because just starting off the bat, saying hello and happy welcome to all the folks who are attending Podcast Global, PodFest Global. You will get, if you want to attend for free, use the code SHEPODCAST, like all one word. You can actually go ahead and get your ticket right now and participate because it is so incredibly busy in there. It's a little bit crazy. So what I have to say is that whenever you're in there presenting, like when we're going to be doing our mini con in there, there are two chats that are happening at the same time. So there's the Zoom chat happening, and then there's the Whova chat happening at the same time. And there's an awful lot of engagement. And so...
oh, look at Carrie. She says there's 50 places to ask questions in a PodFest session. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to have a team member from She Podcast that is specifically going to be answering questions that are coming to us about us or...
isn't that person Jenny?
She could, but I don't know if she can do both sides. I know we at Libsyn have one person on one side and we have the other person on the other side.
But I'm not doing any sessions. I mean, what did you think I was going to be doing?
Like, I was just thinking in terms of breaks, too. This morning, as soon as I opened up my email, I actually got up at 5:45 because I wanted to do some extra work before the day began. And I thought, I don't even know why I thought 10 o'clock was when I had to do something. It was 9:30. I was supposed to do something at 9:30 for the Libsyn booth. And then I thought, oh, gosh, I forgot about that. That's why I'm waking up so early. And then as soon as I open up my email, there's a message from Andrew saying to be there at 9 for the opening thing. So then I had to put makeup on, brush my hair, get out of pajamas, all by 8. And even then, it was just then. And then I was on from 9 in the morning until 10:30. And then I was like shot. After that, I was like, oh, my God, that was a lot of energy. So now just thinking about what we're doing what, 3.5 hours? That's a lot. Well, all I'm saying is that that's a lot of energy. It is a lot of energy.
It's exhausting. Yes. I know. It will be exhausting. But I mean, I expect that.
Right.
I know that's coming.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, I think we need to have beyond just you and I and Jenny, maybe having a backup team to help out somehow would be great. If we have people asking questions, if we have people, you know, doing stuff like that. So
I'm already exhausted too, Carrie. It's not just you.
I know.
I think it's Elsie. I think Elsie's exhausting, not the PodFest.
I am exhausting because I'm telling you, this is why this is me all day, every day.
I know.
Stupid question. When does it start? Now? Is PodFest start
right now?
It started today.
It started this morning.
Okay. You would think that a person who's a master yogi and very in touch with like holistic practice and stuff would be the laid back version of this couple. but it's not.
No. You know what? I completely agree, but it's just one of those things where for us that do and practice yoga, it's not because it's inherent to our personality.
No.
It's because we need it.
Yep.
See? So it's not like, could you imagine, why would somebody who's already chill and like then want to be more chill? Like, that doesn't work. So I often need to be calmed down and chill out and not think that the world is going to end. And that is why I am with the person that I am with, because he is a giant, grounded, warm person. So every time that I'm like this, I literally just have to be near him and his entire energy is like, if he is like, you know, those weighted blankets that people use when they're freaking out.
Yes.
Randy is a weighted blanket.
Literally a weighted blanket.
Randy is a weighted blanket. Like when I'm walking down the street, I'm like, doom, doom, you know, like super fast going forward. No one stop me. And he's just like, it doesn't matter. If he forgot something in the house, he'll just open the door. Doop, doo, doo, slowly come in, get the thing. Whereas I'm like, oh my God. I forgot to get the milk.
I've been experiencing this with you for a week now, and I cannot figure out why you are so hyped up, and not in a good way, but why you're so, I mean, we're hyped up in a good way for PodFest, but also she's like, we have so much to do, none, blah, blah, blah. You know, like every day it's like, we have to get our shit together. And I'm like, give me a list of everything that needs to be done. And then it ends up to be like one thing. Well,
maybe.
Not for me. For me, it ends up to be one thing.
It's I'm not going to go down the list of all of that stuff. But
I know it's been a lot for you to do, but I guess because I did the event last year and it was like a mini con times 1,000 and getting all the headshots and getting the speaker cards and getting their bio, like there's a reason why I automate all that stuff. And it's because this is a pain in the ass. What's happening with trying to get 3 sessions together and all the people that are going to speak in those sessions, like it's so much.
Right.
So I made it easier for myself by automating a lot of it, forcing people, if they want to apply to speak, they have to go through the form. It has to come through email. That's the only way I'm going to see it. I'm not going to look at it if you just send me an email. It has to be in the spreadsheet with all the other, you know, like
right.
I was kind of rigid about the process so that it wouldn't drive me crazy. But I feel like since it's not our conference, I can't catch up with why there's a franticness about you.
Well, because there's a lot of stuff that goes all the bits and pieces. And I think what it is that if it wasn't...
I keep waiting for
if
them.
It wasn't... Because there are 2 aspects of it. There's one of them is that you're doing the content, right? So there's the content aspect of it. If I wouldn't be freaking out if I had to do 3 separate panels myself, as in like I had to be part of these things, it's different when you are just showing up for that. Whereas when you are... You have more skin in the game in the sense of... Like, I'm going to speak now from the perspective of Libsyn. Like, if we are a sponsor, if you're a sponsor for something, you show up and you have to make it worth your while. Like,
but we're not Libsyn, though. Event. Don't speak on behalf of Libsyn because you seem overwhelmed by what we are doing.
Right. Because it's happening on both. For me, it's both sides. And so I see that all the questions that are coming in on one side of things, like we need to be prepared for that stuff. I guess like I was just
I disagree because no one's going to ask us a tenth of the questions they're asking Libsyn because we don't host podcasts.
Right. No, I understand that. But in terms of like I was just thinking like selling tickets for She Podcast Live. Is that not the best venue to do that?
Well, of course. Yes. Okay.
So do we have a deal for PodFest?
We do, but I forget what it is, but we do.
But just for those 3 hours, like, I think that would be like really great to be able to have that. Do we have a place where we can send them? What's the code? Like, what are we offering those people? Are we going to be talking about the speakers? Will the speaker thing be open for people to apply for that? Those little tiny questions that might come up on with around our content and stuff. That's what I was thinking about the mini aspects of you and I coming in and going like, where are we sending them? We send them here. Is this what we're going to talk about? Like, because this is also going to be a great opportunity for folks that don't know anything about She Podcasts. We just had a dude show up for the Libsyn thing. And he was like, I've been podcasting for 15 years. What do you guys do? I've never heard of Libsyn. And it's just like, oh, well, okay. And so then, so we get those types of folks, like people who are coming in for the very first time that don't know about anything.
Yeah.
Like it's just all the things. How do we explain who She Podcast is, what She Podcast has been, who we are, what She Podcast Live is, what, you know, like all kinds of little mini details around that, because this is a really, really amazing opportunity to have really engaged people. John, just to let you know, so I went into, so this is the pre-event. This week is a pre-event. By the time y'all are listening, it's going to be just the weekend before we do our mini con.
Yeah.
But so I had Chris Kremitzos opened it all up, and he was like, it was 9 a.m. and it was like a little kickoff as to what to expect for, you know, PodFest, and this is the pre-event, and then next week, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm there at 9 a.m. As a sponsor, sort of like talking about Libsyn and all kinds of stuff. He had over 100 people live at 9 a.m. Like,
yeah, of course.
Just in the kickoff, I was like, what? And then we did a little sort of virtual booth meet up. I don't even know what it is. It's the first time we've ever done that. Like, they have little booth meetups, I guess, where people can actually show up live to be with the sponsors, like a proper booth versus like just chatting with them. So we did a little Zoom thing. We had 30 plus people show up at 9:30 a.m. And I was like,
it's amazing.
It's insane. Oh, yeah.
Well, they're paying for it. They've bought tickets to be there, of course.
No, these are the majority of the tickets are free. I mean, you can just go get a ticket lots.
You know that Chris has been running Facebook ads for months for this, right? We use Andrea Vall for Facebook ads. She pulls people out of God knows where.
I've never seen one.
Like, what?
I've never seen a PodFest. No, I've seen every ad for every other possible product ever.
I mean, to be fair, I probably see them because I'm on the Facebook page.
Right.
But also, we're not the audience. We already know about PodFest.
Yeah, we already know about them. I know.
That's why there's so many people, because she reaches out to people who are just like the people who are on his website, not those people.
Right.
She finds identical demographic and pulls them in, which is why each conference gets bigger and bigger and bigger, hopefully.
Mm.
So, yeah, she's brilliant. So,
Carrie says that she's seen a lot of podcasts.
Oh, see? All right. So it's not
I have
just
not,
me.
Like, at all. I nice. Have it, but mind you, I'm not on Facebook, and I try to not be on Facebook. So it's not like I'm going to see them if I'm not there. I haven't acted on anything, and I don't comment usually unless it's like our stuff. So I get it. But I guess, you know, and so I question, I mean, I know Facebook ads have been running for a long time, and I guess that's a question for me of not trusting that. Because I have not worked with anybody doing Facebook ads that actually convert. I've seen reach.
Well,
but I haven't seen that conversion rates that are worth the price.
We spent $5,000 on ads for our own event, and it brought in $15,000.
For the conversions of the ads?
Yeah. For our event, for She Podcast Live in 2019.
Really?
Yep.
It brought 50. But and so what's the conversion rate? I guess I'm just looking at it from the perspective of
$15,000 divided by 3, you know, it's like 500 a ticket. You know, it's probably like,
it's 1-to-1.
No, it's 5,000 for 15,000.
Oh, I thought you said
it's 3-to-1.
I'm sorry.
But as far as how many tickets that is, like 15,000 divided by.
Yeah, it's 3-to-1. Like for 50. Every dollar you spend, you get 3 back.
I mean, I guess if it's like, if it is that and you got a, that would be good value. I guess when I'm looking at percentages, I keep thinking like the reach was like, you know, 5,000 people. And then when you look at the conversion rates, at least from what I have seen in terms of the only thing that I'm looking at here is like webinar stats. So I'm not looking at conversion for conferences or virtual events or anything like that, is that ends up being less than 10.
So that's why you need someone who really, really knows what they're doing. And I don't know if you know, but Andrea Vall wrote the book Facebook for Dummies or Facebook Marketing for Dummies. So, I mean, like, she wrote that book.
She wrote the book.
But anyway, so, I mean, I think Chris got even more yield than we did because he poured way more money. I mean, that was his main source of traffic for PodFest last year. And you saw how, I mean, that was like 3,000 people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
5,000 and a little over 5,000.
Yeah. For all this, you mean, right? Huh? For this one? I'm talking about for his in-person one.
Oh, the in-person one. Oh.
Yeah.
He got a ton of return back.
Because what you need is someone who does a test ad for a weekend. And then whichever one does well, she dumps the other one. And she's also testing audience. And whichever one does well, she dumps the other one. Then she dives in a little further. Okay, we like the southern region. Is it Georgia? Alabama? Is it Florida? Okay, only Alabama's biting. Then she dives more. So every time she does another, I mean, it's not even every time you pay her, she does a new campaign. It's within the campaign. She probably tweaks it every day or every other day. She looks at it every day to see what's not working and dumps it. And she looks to see what's working and blasts it. And so it should yield you a return, but it is a full-time job. I mean, like her whole job all day is calculating what ads are working for her clients and tweaking that shit.
And tweaking them. Yep. Absolutely.
That's probably why it doesn't work for us normal people, because I don't know how to do that.
Right.
It's an all-day thing.
Yeah. And who has the time? And I think that you're absolutely right. When it comes to like Facebook ads like that, I honestly think that that's when somebody it has to be somebody's job to just sit there and watch the stuff and go down the list. I've been noting that also for, you know, when it comes to community engagement and what exactly is because of what I do. Right. So I really consider myself a community expert. Right. That's somebody who works in community that has really understood how to grow community, what conversations are really impactful for community. I'm a very like high touch person. I know how to talk with people. Like there's like all of these things that I naturally am really good at. And I think that there happens to be a job that is also a title, right? But there's actually yet another level to that where I found that in order for me to really excel at that specific hat that I wear as a community expert, community leader, community manager, you really need to be in the community all the time. Like there is no.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. There's like no other thing, right?
Part of
what I love and what I intuitively know and I know it works is that engagement, is like answering questions and following up on stuff and like seeing and being curious about things and reaching out to people and all of that. If I put a timer on the amount of time that it takes me to do that, it's a long time.
So it's funny that you say that because I spent the weekend trying to figure out what job I want to do in this company or in life, basically.
Right.
I have come to the conclusion that my main job should be managing people that I'm outsourcing other things to.
Yeah.
That is my job because I spent the entire weekend on Upwork. Mm-hmm. Looking for people to do bits and bobs of things. Things that, you know, like, first of all, because Jenny works for Produce Your Podcast also, and I don't know how much time she'll have to dedicate to helping us with the event or if she's just going to be able to keep doing what we do every week, which is with the QA and the podcast and stuff like that. I don't know if I can pile on with her because she has other clients that we work with. So if I need another Jenny just for the event, how much can I give to Scott? What do I want him to do? What's a good value of his time? Then I know like what's not a good value of my time. So like I was like, oh, I'm going to take the design back over again. But then I was like, you know what? No, I think what I'm going to do is be the art director. I want to give someone, I made a brief. I should show, can I share my screen?
Yeah.
So a while back, I decided I wanted to have an Etsy store and then I wanted to have a digital Etsy store, right? So like this was like months ago and I was just playing around with it. And I decided, you know, I just don't have time to do the planners, but I know exactly what I want them to look like. I made this board. These are all the planners I have. These are the only ones I've been assigned. I hired two people, one who does PowerPoint, one that does InDesign.
Okay.
And so I gave her the files. These are the fonts. These are the directions per page. This is for the annual planner. There's a monthly one, a weekly one, and a daily one.
Okay.
So she's going to take this, do everything I say, and give me back the planner. And I've basically designed it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's just doing that. Yeah, yeah. I get it.
So why can't I make our entire job on She Podcasts like this? Where, I mean, I know I'm showing the whole world like my stuff here. But like, here's our dashboard.
Right.
And then here's all the action items. And to be honest with you, most of them are mine.
Right.
In fact, they're all mine. Except for, I mean, there's some of Jenny's. But Jenny has done many of these. She just hasn't checked them off because I'm the only person that uses this right now. Let's get rid of this stuff. I'm supposed to be sending out sponsorship stuff and putting together. I mean, yes, but also no. I should just write the text and have someone else do it. And I should just be monitoring that person. I mean, not necessarily the high touch stuff, like you said, but putting decks together, sending contracts, sending invoices, doing follow-ups, gathering headshots, all that stuff should be somebody else. My job is to manage that person. Well, it's kind of weird. But then I was like, is that what a CEO does, though?
Yes, is exactly what it is. And so, but mind you, though,
Jess, how hard it is to get to that point, though?
Yeah, it is really hard. And also, here's the other thing, though. Here's the other thing that's very challenging. Because right now we're starting to expand a little bit more, the team over at Libsyn. And so because the core folks that have worked there for so long are such like a Swiss Army knife of the ability to be able to basically do everything, right? That one person. That right now we're really trying to do that so that we can move forward, because there's some things that only I can do as an expert, right? That's my earned time that I've had, that I have a unique point of view and I know where all the pieces go. And so now we have team members that can actually move those pieces and put them where they belong. But the thing is that they have to also be managed. And so in the sense that what I have noticed is that this weekend I worked for us. I was working for us full time on Saturday and Sunday. Usually on Sunday, when I am ready to go back to work on Monday, I do the manager stuff that I need to do for our Libsyn team. And so the manager stuff is I got
double checking work, making sure shit's getting done, seeing if anyone has questions. That's right. Right.
All the social media stuff, all the edits on that thing, I have to do like blog post updates. Like somebody has already created this. So this is where where I become the clog in this system, Jess, that there are two blogs that are done. They just need me to look at them over to make sure that they're right.
Right.
Approval from me. Then I need to approve a crap ton of new ideas to move on. So the team presents to me, here's five separate blog posts. I have to pick this one because that's the way we go. Go do this.
So this is ideal, right? And the main difference, there's one huge difference between She Podcasts and Libsyn that stops me from being able to fulfill this role properly.
Uh-huh.
And that thing is a steady, stable income stream. I mean, we have that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but
more, not enough like, for me to pay for the team that we actually need. Right.
Right.
So we have a few people, and rather than burden them more, I take on stuff that they can't do. But this is why I looked on Upwork, because I was like, someone out there, because $20 an hour is not a lot for someone who is probably better at me than what I'm trying to do and probably needs the money. And will free me up to make more money, bigger money. Because if I can work on sponsorship stuff, if I can work on offers for PodFest or how to, you know, optimize that opportunity, then we'll make enough money for me to pay these people.
That's the curse of the entrepreneur.
I know. There's a book called The E-Myth, and it's all about this. It starts out about a baker who, like, loves baking cakes. But then all of a sudden, she's like, you know, she opens a bakery. And now she's like, and I don't even touch a cake ever. But that's how it should be.
Yeah. For me, one of the things is my biggest problem with this is I hand something off and then they come back with a million questions because I probably didn't communicate it right. Then I'm like, just give it to me. I'll do it.
That's why the brief, though.
I know.
Because this way I can sit for 10 minutes and think, exactly what do I want this person to do so they have as few questions as possible, which, by the way, is the other thing I'm terrible at, is I like to just give somebody something to do and let them figure it out. That is such a bad idea.
Well, you know what, Jess? It depends on the person. Because
I mean, that's true. And I think that's the best way to learn, which is why I do it. And with Jenny, I have learned to be specific, but not too specific, because she likes to figure stuff out.
this is when you have to find that.
It's a puzzle piece. You need it's a puzzle piece.
That's right. And it's like, you know how to work with people and how to communicate whatever that is with like maybe just one person, but it's a lot harder to communicate that with somebody else who needs a lot more, right? So part of being a boss is being able to do that. It's sort of like being, at least for me, a person who is a mother, to be able to understand that just because I can tell Hunter X, Y, and Z, it doesn't mean May is going to understand X, Y, and Z. I'll start with X, Y, and Z. But then if she looks at me like I have no idea what you're talking about, I'm going to have to figure out how to communicate that one thing that was super easy with this one to this person. And so, but you have to, as a man, as a somebody who is the boss, you have to figure out, it's your job. That's your job. How do I help this person succeed?
It's a coaching thing. In other words, you got to coach them up.
Agreed.
You got to learn how to coach them up. It's almost like you tied your hands. Like if I wanted Jess to stop touching her microphone, what I should do is just send her a bunch of clips of her touching her microphone and what it sounds like. I know. But what I'm saying is it's the coaching. You got to coach them up. It's almost like you can't touch anything, but you're describing to them how to do it, and you're not allowed to touch it. Where as an entrepreneur, you just want to grab it and get it done because you know how to do it.
Because you know how to do it.
So that chart on Notion is easy, right? Because I have a list of planners and a list of people that can do the planners and a list of shit I want done. And She Podcast, it's totally different. And I, the where I get stuck is what should be a card and what should not be a card. Like, because we have, just for example, the event. Whole databases can be filled with the to-do list items on there. But what is worthy of a card and what is not?
Right.
The She Podcast Minicon. Should get headshots be on their own card? Who's going to follow up and make sure that person got the headshots? Do I need to follow up with Elsie and make sure she, I mean, it's just, some of it doesn't make sense. And I don't, like, the planner business is very cut and dry. Because it's one task that someone else can do besides me.
Right.
And then maybe I'll hire another person to make the listing on Etsy because I don't want to do that either. Right. And so I have a whole business that I've not, you know, that I'm doing, but I'm not doing. So with She Podcast, though, I trip up on how to organize it properly. I think what I should be doing is I'm trying to make it good so everyone can use it. I need to make it so that it makes sense to me. Because if I'm the one managing these people, I can just, you know, I don't even need everyone to see that big dashboard that I showed you guys. They just need to have their own little tasks with the things inside of what to do. And then they can complete it at the top. Boom, it's done. And then I can organize the rest. I can do the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But I've been tripping up trying to figure out, like, how do I make it so that Elsie knows where everything is at one time? How do I make it so that Jenny knows where everything is at one time? And then, I mean, it just occurred to me this moment, that's not exactly what I need. I need to make sure I know what's going on at every moment.
Yeah. And I think that that's the bottom line.
You guys will figure
there.
It out. With your parts that I give you, right? Like, you guys will figure it out. With the parts that Libsyn gives you, you have your own part. You don't have access to the entire company, what's going on in dev.
No, right? I don't. And that's why we have meet. But that's the thing. I think that there does need to be a communication. And that's why we have meetings, right?
Yes.
So then you have a meeting and then you say, this is what I'm up to. This is what I'm. And then if there's like a big thing coming up, like let's say She Pod, like let's pretend we had all the little groups in She Podcast, right? We had the marketing team. We had, you know, that like we had a Facebook ads team. We had our designer. We had like you and I come in terms of the things that we have going on in the space, you know, all that stuff. And our big event for the thing is She Podcast Live. And so we need to come together because the design team is already on everything design wise, from the digital stuff to the handouts to what it, you know, the floor plan to what it's going to look like. They're designing all the things.
Yeah.
Nobody's like talking to them. I'm in the middle of selling. Like I'm, you know, getting on podcasts. I'm sure, like,
which
all
is what you should be doing.
Right. And so then at the time we meet, and then that team tells us, like the design teams, that like the social media team tells us how much they've grown for this. And then like you and I will sit around and go like, these are the things that I've been doing. Can you please promote social, these things that I'm having? And they'll just take it and grow with it. And for us, like, what's been really helpful actually is whenever I do have a, and it has been, I cannot even tell you how helpful this has been to have all of the speaking opportunities that I have and everything that I've been speaking on to be able to just like forward it off to Callie, who's our team member there. And then I say, I need, like, just do what you do with this stuff. Like, I don't even have to tell her now. Yeah. She'll create an entire, like, for Anu's event, the Shikonomy event, she already has, like, all this kind of advertisement for it. It's already posted. Guess who's going? Look at what time. Like, she did it all.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do it.
So that is not a problem, but, you know, we do have a designer that we work with, but she has lots of other clients too. And I guess we contracted for her to help us with the live website. And then there's other stuff that's ongoing that I need to re-contract her for. Mm-hmm. But I've been hesitant because even though we're selling the event, we're doing our event, like, I'm still scared that somewhere in there that it may not happen and I'll just have, like, gotten all this money for people to do jobs that I don't need. And I'm so scared of that.
No, I think that part of it just is that you can start to hire out jobs that, like, in terms of the stuff that is she podcast core work. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't, like, I'm exaggerating now, but don't hire somebody to design, like, the floor stickers for the hotel.
Right. Like,
you know what I mean?
Right. Business,
like,
cards.
Yeah. Like, we'll never need like that. But you can maybe some, like, headers or things that can be repurposed, stuff that's going to not be too much, but they can also work towards what our brand is. Like, if it was me and I were to be designing that stuff, I would start to get, like, at least a template for the sponsor pitch or a one sheet, or being able to even get another, like, media kit for She Podcast specifically if somebody wants to, like, work with us. Like speaker
pages
for you and I, like, that is valuable and it's something we can send people on.
I like to do that. Like
some,
so, go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, but those are the things that I would invent. Like, if it was in terms of designing and what do we want to say with what we have so that we can just, like, easily move it forward.
That's a good idea. I'm going to do that with Danielle. I'm just going to have her do the stuff you just said. Because you're right. I don't need to know what's happening in order to have those things. We just need to have those things.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes I'm a reluctant CEO. Like, this is the downfall of being so laid back. Like, Elsie, for all of her anxiety and frantic energy, it's good to have somebody. This is why my husband is the same way. It is good to partner with somebody who is worried all the time so that when there's something to worry about, you can help them address it. Because to be honest with you, look how long it's taken me to figure out that I'm supposed to be outsourcing this stuff. 6 years, people. 6 years. You know what it's like? It's like somebody has to drive a tricycle across the desert carrying a cooler full of, like, water, okay? And I'm on the tricycle. And then Elsie drives up and she's like, look, there's an airplane. All you have to do is, like, reach up and I'll pull you up. And I'm like, but what about the tricycle? Somebody's got to do this water. She's like, well, it doesn't have to be you. You shouldn't be sweaty. Wherever we're going, you can't be sweaty. You have to look good. I know. But I have to keep going. Who's going to do it if I don't do it? That's me. That's always me. I'm always like this. Here, I'll reach with one hand and I'll just pedal with this hand. I'll just go like this and see if I can make it. It never works. It's never going to work.
But see, it's so weird that you're doing that, but that energy to me is like the anxiety. It's like what I'm telling you. You're saying, like, I'm so laid back. That does not look laid back.
It's not no. The difference between me having that energy and you having that energy is that I'm laser focused, not upset and worried.
Oh, okay.
I'm not upset and worried. I'm just producing. I'm just pedaling. I didn't say I was pedaling frantically, just fast. Just fast. I'm fast. But I'm not in a tizzy. What?
This the title for this one's got to be group therapy.
Well, Carrie's all worried. She goes, "What if the tricycle stops?" Like, that's my point. Listen, that's my point. Somebody's got to hop on in order for me to go in the plane with Elsie. That's my point. I've got to get someone to get on this tricycle. Somebody who has longer legs than me, who can pedal faster, and that's all they do. Because that's not all I do. In fact, I don't do it very well at all. In fact. Like, those planners, they're doing a way better job than I could have because I'm in a hurry all the time because I'm trying to get it done.
I think the hardest part for me now when it comes to recognizing what what a value add it is to have somebody that can do that one thing or like a couple of little tasks, as in I can just forward them like my speaker opportunities and saying like, can you please put this on all the social profiles for me, please? And just doing that is that a lot of the folks that I would want to do that with me are also working for a bunch of other people. And I can't afford to have that person with me all the time because that's not fair. And so that's where I'm at a conundrum, because I would love to, I literally would love to own somebody, like not in a bad, in a good way, as in like, I want to work with a partner.
I'll try and help you, with that a little bit.
No, but yeah, but that they're like there for me so that I can say at any time.
Not me.
No, not you. That I can like text them and go like, I need these things done. Can you please do this for me? But I don't have to wait, you know, because it's like I did find somebody. Remember that woman that I found? But she's in Barcelona. Not to say that that's bad.
No, it's not.
But it's actually, I was really excited because I'm like, oh my God, this is like a dream come true. But in actuality, I need somebody that's Eastern. I just need somebody who's available. Who can-
right. That's another thing. It costs more money to have someone on your time zone, for sure. And the women that I hired from Upwork, and that's the other thing is like, as I was going through, I was trying to find women who, I want to help a woman who is doing this for the first time after not working for a while, or someone who's fresh out of college. And so the one is from India, who she is like, I've studied this, this, and this. I've gone to this, this college. I have no reviews on Upwork because this is my first, this will be my first gig. And I was like, boom, you're hired. Mm-hmm. Because I would love to be, I would love to help somebody have a 5-star rating and start making money. Like that's feels good to me. And then also a woman, you know, women of color. And so I kind of botched that. The first woman is from South Africa, so she's probably white. I mean, but like, but I was like going for, you know, women of color only. But anyway, they both are college graduates from wherever they are. I mean, and getting someone in the United States is more expensive. And I'm learning it doesn't necessarily mean they're better at the job. Although I do feel something about helping women in this country because I know how much everyone is struggling. And so there is something about that. I just need to find somebody in the price range that's like every designer that I saw that could do the skills I wanted was like $95 an hour. The women I hired were like 25.
Right.
And I also know that 25 where they live is like 95.
Right.
They don't need 95. You know, like the cost of living is much less. So I feel okay about that. Whereas like $95, like I can't pay someone $95 an hour to do anything, really. I just can't. We just can't.
Right.
And there's got to be some mom out there who is working from home and able to take on extra. That's what I want. Someone who's just like willing to do a little extra for a little extra. You know,
I'm a little like worried about that. I'm such an advocate for making sure that you take care of yourself and you set boundaries for yourself, because I suck at this so badly that that's something I don't want to teach. I don't want to teach you need to be on all the time. You need to be on, like you got to do all the things. But I want somebody who is like that. You know what I mean? So I'm like torn.
But listen, when you're a designer though, or when you're a VA, or when you're a designer, like let's take Jenny for example, because Jenny is not, she is, I know if you're listening to this, Jenny, don't punish me for it, but she does not necessarily charge what she could be charging. And it's probably because she, you know, needs to, I don't mean, I don't want to tell you her life or whatever, but like the point is, even if I give her the most mundane shit of tasks, she's cool with it. Cause she's like, I just sit in front of the TV and just move cells in a spreadsheet. And it's kind of like, I feel productive, but I don't have to think too hard. She enjoys that. Some of the, you know, she's a mortgage broker. Like she's obviously can do so much more than that.
Right.
But that's something that for what we pay her, she's cool with doing. And it, like that's, these are stories we're telling ourselves. So in your head, you're like, this person's overworked. In my head, I'm like, this person can design a business card in 5 minutes, and that's just an extra $25 that she didn't have before. And if her it's in my head, it's like if the husband lost the job, you know, or if she's home with the, you know, like if there's some way that like she's making extra money because they have limited income right now. That's the story I'm telling in my head, you know, about who I'm hiring. I have no idea if it's true.
Yeah.
But there's also no way of knowing that that person's overworked, and who are we to say?
Right. And I think that that's what it is. To me. And also the fact that I want it done when I want it done.
Well, yeah.
As in, and I think that for me, that's really the most important stuff. It's sort of like, if I'm like in the middle of working something and going, okay, I need to have this thing out or like this image done or this, you know, this these tweets written or whatever by end of day today. Like I expect them and I want them done.
So another way of doing that, Elsie, is to go on Upwork and be like, I have $1,000 and I want a virtual assistant to be at my beck and call for a month. And I don't care what time zone you're in. I only care that when I say I need you to edit this, it's done within 2 hours.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
2 hours of, you know, so like, so I mean, it could be, I mean, there are other people in our time zone that could probably handle that that aren't in the United States.
Right, right.
There are people who are 2 hours before us and 2 hours behind us that right. could probably do that, you know, and so, or, and so Jen's saying you need to tap into students and artists, all the actors who are out of work, they would love that work and their night out. See, yes, exactly. But all I know is if I advertise for a graphic designer, they show me how they're a graphic designer. I don't know what they're doing. In fact, I accidentally Googled someone that I hired to help me and found out that she's like a COVID denier. And I was like, ah, shit. And I mean, I'm not going to, I can't fire her. I don't want to fire her. I don't care. She does an amazing, I mean, I care, but I shouldn't have done that because it's none of my business. Right. And she does excellent work. It was stupid of me to even look. You know, I just got curious. And that's also probably another downfall to hiring someone in the United States is that they're Googleable and that shit doesn't matter. That's what I think. I don't know. I mean, yes, I agree with students and artists. I totally agree. I also will say this, though, in my experience, because I've had a couple interns in my life and I've taught interns and I've run internships. They are the most energetic and the most eager. They are not the most reliable because they're young. I mean, forget artists. I'm just talking about students. I'm going to assume this applies to artists because they're artists, but I don't really know. But like, yeah, but if you need things plugged into spreadsheets, right. But they forget. Yeah,
that's true.
Or they had to go do something with their mom or they didn't have access to the computer because it's not their computer. I mean, they're just not the most reliable. The most reliable is someone fresh out of college because, you know, they have a computer. Someone, you know, or someone who's still in college, like you said. But, you know, they're not. Anyway, you know what I mean?
No, I know. And I think that that's the other thing, too. Like whenever you do start to work a little bit more with teams, and I think that's something that in this life that we've had now, like for over, I think now for almost going into since She Podcast Live last year, we started to like work with more of a team. Right. And then same thing with Libsyn, same thing for myself. So I've had like three separate ways of working with people, team members coming in and out, doing work in that way. And I can say that they're definitely now I really know a type of person of, or personality that I like to work with and that it that works well with the way that I work, which is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to kiss a lot of toads.
I have kissed a lot of toads. I'm trying to avoid it.
It is so hard because sometimes you think somebody's going to do what you're asking them to do. And then you realize, oh, and I can say this now as somebody who has done a lot of interviewing of people too for certain positions is that whatever, and I say this just for y'all to trust yourselves. You know, the minute you get that inner knowing like, oh, I don't know if they'll be right. You're usually right. You're usually right.
Yes, you're like, almost always
right. If you have
that
instinct, like even in just a moment of just like, oh, they don't fit. Follow that. Because what I ended up doing is like you first, you get that hit and you immediately like make that infer. And then you go, no, I'm going to get to know them. But they have all of these things that are going on. And then they do this really well. And I really like them. And they're so great. And it would be awesome. And like you convince yourself. Yeah. You make this whole story to make them fit.
Same,
and then they don't. You had so the instinct at the beginning.
But that's where you got to coach them up. Can
well,
you coach them up?
You know what, John? There's times for coaching up and then there's times for like, I got to get this shit done. I need you to get it done. I don't have time to be telling you how to do it.
So Scott does this thing where he'll make up a story in his head about why something is the way he is and then he'll get mad about it. For example, if his food's not right, which for some reason happens to him more often than it does anyone else in this house, probably because he's so picky, because it makes him so angry is probably why it happens, because that's just Murphy's Law. But he'll go, that guy just doesn't give a shit. He'll just throw the food in the car. Now it's everywhere. And like, he's probably smoking a cigarette and that fucking sucks. And I'm like, You just made all of that up, and now you're super angry about it. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You don't have any idea what's happening in that car. Could have been his kids riding around with it.
Oh, my God. I know so many people like that. They do the same thing. They sit there and they start talking about it. And then they go through this whole thing. And I said, you know that none of that actually happened. You can't prove any of that.
Yeah, it's all a made up story about a person you don't know. It's ridiculous. But this is the same thing. Hiring is the same thing. I try to infer as much as I can. Does this person have kids? How old are they? Are they single? Is this their first job? Is this something they've been doing a long time? Have they just not gotten a break with a company? Did they work for a company and then they hate the company? Like, I'm trying to figure it all out so I can assess this. I don't just want to know their skills. I want to know their, like, reason, their raison d'etre, right? Totally. Like, why are they there? What's happening there?
I love this, Carrie. Carrie's just saying that, you know, that there's one person that she almost fired and they ended up being so amazing. They made mistakes, but they really, truly wanted to do better. And this is the thing, because I absolutely agree with that too. And I think that that's what the job of a CEO or a president or an owner is, right? You have to know the right person to get the task done that needs to get done when, right? Because if there's somebody that I can coach up that I really want to invest my time and to like really nurture and build something, then it's going to be this type of person. But if sometimes I just need somebody to do what I want right then and not, it's going to be a different person that I'm going to give that to, right? So you have to make those decisions all the time, like all the time, even if you do have a team, to be able to go, who am I going to give this work to? And you have to make that decision.
But what I was saying, like, I have $1,000 and I want you to be at my beck and call. And here are the things. And if this works out, because this is the first time I've had a person like that, then hopefully you've made enough money from outsourcing some shit to be able to hire them again and hire them again. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Andrew from PodFest. Yeah. He is a perfect example of a smart hire.
Yeah, he's a smart
because
hire.
Because he's really smart. He's very skilled. He probably learns like that. And
he's young.
He's young.
I know.
That there's no way he needs $100 an hour to live. I mean, we don't know where he is because he's always got a green screen background that looks like an office. I know he's not sitting in that office because it's pandemic. He's probably in some bedroom with like posters of like God knows what on the walls. And he just doesn't want to show us.
But you're right. He's amazing. He's amazing.
He could be 25. He could be 15. It's hard to tell.
Okay. So from a person who has to work with new clients all the time and they come in and they walk in and they go, it's almost like that movie, Prada, The Devil Wears Prada, where she comes walking in and she just throws stuff on a desk and she walks and she says three words and you're supposed to understand. And then I like to say, well, can I have a noun? Can I buy a noun, please? Because I need to know what you're talking about. So if I get a client and I'll use Stacey Sims as an example. Stacey Sims, okay. I've been working with her for four or five years. I don't know. But she says to me, she says like a sentence and a half, I'm on it. Then I have another person that comes in and says six paragraphs, and I have no idea what they're talking about. So I have to nail.
This is a John problem, not a client problem.
I think it's a both problem, Doja.
No way. You are not managing them to work the way you want. If you want them to give you. So in other words, if you have a new client, they need to fill out a form and that form needs to be just like my project brief. Tell me in 50 words or less, what is your show about? Tell me in 100 words or more how you want this to sound.
Give
them options. Give them things to check off. You need check boxes. Should it be bright? Should it be dark? Should it be tenor? Give them examples of each thing so they know what it all sounds like. This way you have do whatever it has to take as and write it for the stupidest person possible so that it is easy as shit for you to know.
But what I'm saying is sometimes you have to go back. Sometimes you have to train your boss. In other words, you have to train your boss to kind of focus in on something. It depends. Yep. Like I'm sure Elsie, you and I, you say to me, I need this at this, and this. And I'm like, I'm on it. Same thing like with this podcast. You guys give me this podcast, and I'm already trained, so I don't even need, you know, all I need is your audio, and then you can go away. I got this. How many times do I come back?
But your clients don't know how to train you, John. They only know how to talk about what they're talking
about. I don't need to be trained. I have to train the clients. Like, you know, you. Yeah. In other words, I have one client that comes in and throws everything on a desk and runs. I'm like, hey, come here. I have three episodes. Where do these go? Why aren't they numbered? I don't know, because I don't know when we're going to put them out yet. All right, so we need a
Notion.
Name. We need a name. What was this about? So I can put it so you'll know when I edit it and I can give it back to you. So that's what I mean. You have to kind of train. You got to make those puzzle pieces fit.
Every time they give you something to edit, they fill out a type form. They upload the file. This way you have the thing. And you can make it so that they can't put it through unless they give you all the information. And by the
way,
that's what the speaker application is like. You don't hit send without a bio and a fucking headshot. Your application doesn't come through because I'm not digging for that shit.
Right.
The end.
I understand that. But they don't, again, right. As a client or even as a boss, they come in and they go, I need this done. And you're like,
look what Carrie wrote. Client onboarding is client training.
It is.
You train them how to work with you. You don't put up with that shit about, oh, who was it? Oh, Holly. Holly is a perfect example.
I didn't want to say that name.
Okay, but I told this to Holly. So Holly is my friend from camp, who now uses Tracy and John, and I think she might hire Andrea too. Our whole team she uses for her podcast, Fashion Crimes. Okay, Elsie. So I said, when do you record? She goes, whenever Nolan can record. And I'm like, okay, well, what about when you have a guest? Well, we let them decide. I'm like, and the first thing I said, John, is, how does John know when to get you the show? And she was like, he just does it in his spare time. I'm like, that's your fault, not his fault. I said, here's why. Because if he knows it's going out on Friday, he will fit it in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But he can't do that if y'all are just recording willy-nilly like. Who knows when that file's coming? You don't know what's happening in his life that day. He's got to be able to fucking schedule that shit.
They're coming in. Like, they're, yeah, and they're coming in through week transfer.
She was like, she goes, oh. she's from North Carolina.
No, she's
Holly
from
Raleigh.
Yes. Oh, Holly. Oh, she's from North Carolina. Okay, now she lives
Holly
in Georgia.
From Raleigh. She's like, that makes so much sense. And I'm like, yes.
But the thing is, I love her. I love working with her. I love working on the show. And she's new at this. So it's,
yes,
you just can't throw everybody. You just can't do so. You got to kind of work it into them. And again, I've been doing this long enough where, you know, I can kind of figure it out. But when I send her stuff and she's, that's not the one I want. I'm like, now I'm perplexed because I'm like, well, where is it? I have no idea. It's like, there's like a pile of audio on the table. And I'm like,
but you shouldn't, she should know that in order for her to work with you, she has to upload it here, tag it here, directions here. Boom. It's done. When's the deadline? Great. Got to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault.
It
but
is.
Her fault is not having a goddamn schedule.
Right.
But and also because she's new, she wouldn't know that. I mean, if it were Carrie, I'm guessing, and she had a new podcaster, she would tell them, hey, by the way, you should really be doing this on a schedule because it'll help you and me.
And again, there's the client. There's some clients who are just, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. They're always on the hairy edge. They're sending you the audio and they're like, true. I need it by tomorrow.
Yeah, you know who's like that? Hillary Rubin. If Hillary did a podcast, Elsie, she's a friend of ours. If Hillary did a podcast, Elsie, even if we had her in a goddamn podcasting military camp, it would still be the way John's describing, where last minute, I forgot this. What about that? She's just the way she is.
You just need to have absolutely. You need to have all the stuff. But you're right. You know what? In terms of whenever you hire outsource things, it's so helpful when the team, whoever you hired, has a process, because it is actually freeing to the client. Like, we're also working for Libsyn, we're working on doing some videos and stuff, and it's not necessarily just videos of us, but videos just as a whole, like adding a little bit more videos here and there in terms of marketing stuff. Like, and so we're working with a video production team who actually does this for a living. Like, that's what they do. And so when they share their assets, they've created a very organized Google Drive. This is where we get the feedback from you. This is where all the videos are. This is where all the assets are. This is when we need the feedback. This is when. And so everything is there and everything is for us to do. And we know what we need to do when and where to add the feedback, because that's the other thing that I have found to be very challenging, particularly when you're giving feedback on media files, that it's like, you know, when you have like a Google Doc that you're working with and you're writing something, you can do the whole thing, right? You can see, like, people can comment and you can see a working sheet and you can do all that stuff. But when it's media, it's like, how are you going to put all the feedback there, right? So they've created that whole thing, and it's so – It's like, oh my God, thank you. That's why you hire them.
Andrea Drea online, she's another example of this. We hired her to do our social media and we were like, so how does it work? And she goes, we work 2 weeks in advance. And we were like, ooh, okay. And then after that, we always do 2 weeks in advance. Like yeah. There was no, like Elsie and I have never done it before, but this service provider, she will not talk to you on Thursday for stuff they're posting next week. That shit is done and scheduled. She will only talk to you on Thursday about stuff that's happening 10 days from now. And so we're just trained now to do it that way.
Still
on Thursday, that's the first time we're thinking that far ahead is for her. But we're still doing it though, because they make us do it.
Yeah.
And so if that's what you want, you have to make them do it. And if you want me to help you, I can help you set that up so that
I understand, like a portal, and
whatever else.
But I'm a sucker. I'm a sap because, in other words, I know what it's like when you're behind and you're like, oh, I got to get this out. And I didn't have time. And the kid was this and the dog got sick and this and that and all. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't need sleep tonight.
Come on. You feel bad for everyone but yourself. And then you're mad.
In the middle of it,
they
like I'm doing this,
me.
I'm like,
fuck them bitches.
Yeah, he's sleeping and I'm here editing this. I'm out of here.
Now, that's not fair. That's what's not fair. Mm-hmm. Not what's happening to them, but what's happening to you is not fair.
Right. But so I'm saying this is very therapeutic what we're doing right here.
It is. It feels good. Do you guys feel good?
We're going to have to wrap it up a little bit because we have to talk about PodFest as we close this out. As we've been, we haven't actually talked about what we're doing for the She Podcast Mini Con.
That's true.
Which is happening a few days from when this episode goes live. So the whole entire thing starts on March 1st. This is the She Podcast Mini Con. And if you want free tickets, all you have to do is click the link in our show episode notes and use the code She Podcast all together when you go inside of that Eventbrite. You'll get that $49 ticket for free. The little ticket area where you put the coupon code is to the top left of the Eventbrite page because sometimes people miss it. So use that and get it for free. I guarantee you, even if our thing is like 3.5 hours long, but the week is going to blow your mind. And there's going to be so much networking in this. You really will miss out if you don't sign up. So She Podcast is the code. Now we're starting for, it's 1:30 to 6:00 is what we're doing together for the She Podcast Mini Con. And we're really doing our very best to bring so many voices together within that 3.5 hours to have conversations that are a little bit unusual. So we're not necessarily doing, I think that this mini con is not about like tactical tips or like learn how to podcast. It's a little more, around the culture itself, sharing some ideas, sharing communities, sharing leaders that are in the podcasting space that are women led and really leading conversations around the entire ecosystem of podcasting that are often not had. So Jess, do you want to talk about what our lineup is?
Yes, I'm so proud of our lineup. I cannot even tell you. So our first session is, what do podcasting communities need? A roundtable of community leaders and advocates. And we have Danielle Corbett from WOC Podcasters. We have Rita Bautista from Latina Podcasters. We have Carrie from Yaya Podcasting and Helen Zaltzman. And
Just Busters.
Oh, Just Busters. Well, she does Yaya, but yeah, Just Busters. And then what is Helen Zaltzman community?
Helen Zaltzman is the podcasting support group.
That's right. The podcasting support group, which is a huge Facebook group. So we're doing what podcasting communities need. And then podcasting generations. So Elsie has put together a lot of different diverse women, all different ages, all different backgrounds, all different career paths. And we get to talk to them about what drives them to podcast, how they help each other. And then the She Podcast State of Podcasting with Nikita Burks Harrell from Journey Girl Magic, Sarah and Miss Sasha, who are the hosts of Dear White Women podcast, Maria Santonia from Ecos Media, and Reka Murthy, who is a radio and podcast expert. She's worked everywhere. I mean, when I looked at her bio today, I was like, hot diggity. This girl.
I know.
Oh, yes. And Michelle Curry. Oh, I have to add her.
Yeah, I know. And Michelle Curry, too. I mean, we have all those, but like, It's really great. Like one of the ones that I mean, other than the fact that we have like all of these women participating, I think one of my favorite sessions, I hope it is everything I wanted it to be. It's sort of like everybody having tea together is that Podcasting Generations, a conversation session, which doesn't really particularly have a focus, but I do have a 16-year-old podcaster all the way up to a 70-year-old podcasting, and I have every generation. So I have Gen Z, I have Gen X, I have Gen Y, and I have Baby Boomer all in one thing. And all of us are podcasters. Everybody has a very different podcast. So the 16-year-old, her name is Brooklyn Boykins. Her show is called Sit Back and Chat, and y'all need to go listen to her show. It is very easy to listen to. I don't want to say cute. No, I can't say all the words that are like, no, all I can say is that she's a powerhouse. She is incredibly knowledgeable and very wise for her years. Her show is very, it's just like her behind a microphone, and she already on her own figured out how crappy the Blue Yeti, what mic was, and she got herself a Samsung Q2U, and it sounds amazing.
Excellent.
We also have, I don't know if it's going to be Stephanie or Melissa Carcace, who are from Millennial Women Talk. And obviously, they are the millennials in the group, and they're both Latinas, and they're doing an incredible job when it comes to their YouTube. You should see their YouTube. They've really invested in the way that they are putting themselves out there. They have so much to offer for that specific demographic of millennial women and everything that they're focusing on. And my 70-year-old is from the podcast called Two Old Bitches. Her name is Joanne Sandler, and her bio is also an amazing, like, she's
yeah,
like, oh my really God, is. Has she lived a life? Holy wow. crap.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're 70.
Well, yeah, it is life. Unbelievable. But she is also like, she's also co-host. So she's not just a solo person. She is but they had to choose in between who's the one that's going to be on the panel. And part of it is that I wanted this to not be like, you know, everybody's presenting so much, but like for us to talk with one another and to know that the thing that connects us is podcasting. And it doesn't like it's incredible to have that so many folks that are just doing this on their own, and every single one of these women is self done. Like they're not coming from like crazy networks. They're like doing their own stuff. In fact, I think Joanne, I think she does the editing for her show on her own. So it's like, come on, that's like super super cool. And then I'll be representing Gen Y for that. So anyway. I'm really excited for a whole thing.
I am really excited too. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be really in-depth, interesting conversation, not your average grow and monetize, which is what we were going for. So yeah. So thank you guys so much for, to get you want a free ticket, you go to shepodcast.com/PodFest Global and put in the code SHEPODCAST. You can get a free ticket. And if you want to upgrade, you get $50 off the VIP or any other level ticket. So shepodcast.com/PodFest Global. Thank you guys so much for coming to She Podcast. For those of you who watched it live, thank you so much. It's lovely to see you. For those of you who didn't, good for you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at She Podcast. You can find our show notes at shepodcast.com. You can also email us any feedback or tidbits at feedback@shepodcast.com. And don't forget to go to PodFest. Go to shepodcast.com/PodFest Global. Thank you guys so much for listening to us today. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.